You know, the title, How to Stay Clean in a Dirty World, throughout my ministry, I've used that title many times over the years, always with different scripture. But the title, it seems to always pop up in life, A Dirty World. And how am I going to stay clean in it? Very difficult to stay clean if you get involved with a dirty area. Well, it's just like putting on a white uniform. And you walk into this place, white uniform, you have not checked out that uniform or checked out that place to see whether or not it's dirty. And you just go over and sit down. And all the grease, grime, and everything else that is within that room, as soon as you stand up, is a part of your uniform. Holds true with life itself. Pay attention to where you are. Look at your surroundings. See what you're getting ready to get involved with. And you say, well, you know, there's a little voice inside of me said, I'll not go in there. How come we never listen to it? Everybody talks about it afterward. Well, you know, I knew that as soon as I walked in that door, I shouldn't have been there. Well, if you just walked in the door, what keeps you from turning around and just walking right back out of that door? Well, you know, it just looked exciting. Life looks exciting. When you're young, you look at those that are older and say, boy, I cannot wait. I can't wait when you're a tween. I can't wait till I'm a teen. Then I can't wait till I'm 16, able to drive, and then 21 and all of that stuff. And then at some point along the line, you think, why do I want to keep wishing away? My mother's 104. I can picture me saying, boy, I can't wait till I'm 104. Yeah, I can. I can wait. You can too. But the world that you and I are living in is not a clean world. How do I know that? God told me. He wrote a book on it, the Holy Bible. In that Holy Scripture, He says the world is dirty. And you need to pay attention that the world is dirty. Now, why would God want me to pay attention to that? Because God loves me so much. He doesn't want me to be tricked by a dirty world. When you walk in a dust-filled room and you're wearing glasses, like a lot of us do, or contacts, and that dust comes on your lens, difficult to view what exactly is going on. You seems like in this life that we walk around it in just a haze. Have you ever been that way? Have you ever been, you woke up one morning and you think, gosh, I'm in a dreamland here. You know, I've been walking around for this whole week just in a daze. I'm just dazed. You ever been there? Well, you will be. When you deal with life, you will be. You can't believe that it's real. And what you don't want to believe is real is all of that dirt that has just hit you. Staying clean in a dirty world is difficult because Satan wants to keep throwing out the dirt. And normally he'll make sure that dirt's aimed at you. The dirt pile that is thrown out at you over losing someone you love. Giving you that thought in your mind, if God loves me so much, why would he allow this to happen to me? What did I do so bad? And then you will seek the remedy for a dirty world in the dirty world. That doesn't work. So like washing your hands in muddy water and wondering why they don't get clean? It doesn't work. God said, I want you to recognize where you are. But I want you to know you don't have to stay there. And if you are there, I will be with you forever. Not just when you're in the right place, but when you're in the wrong place. Just because I'm in the wrong place does not mean that God does not love me. And He's right there with me. directing me to get out of the wrong place. You don't want the dirt of the world saturating you. For once it does, it weighs you down. We get tricked. We look at our life and we think, you know, I think I got this. And then the reality of life sets in and you say, I know I don't have this. I can't do this. Lord, I'm amazed at how powerful the world is. Over my years of seeing heartache, hardship, brokenness, I've watched multitudes after multitudes come through, praising the Lord, weeping, the hearts broken over loss in their life, over calamity, over the dirtiness that's weighing them down. God blesses their life. God lifts them up. God gives them a new beginning. And you turn around and they walk out on God back to the very world that brought them down. That's what God sees. I've learned to say, oh, they'll be back. But sadly, they wait till the next tragedy, until the next brokenness, until the next hurt, until one day they wake up and they're looking in the mirror and they see the dirt of life, hoping and praying, Lord, help me, because I did it again. I did it again. And you know something about my God? He'll help you. He'll even help you knowing you're going to do it again. Because that's how much He loves. And that's how much He understands the dirt of life. That's how much He understands the filth that's around you. And the love He has for you. First of all, to stay clean in a dirty world, you have to acknowledge that the world's dirty. Now, if the world to you looks like pure glamour, and you love the bright lights of the big cities, you love the way it sounds when you pull that one-armed bandit. Oh, I only do that. I'm not gambling, preacher. I just like to listen to it as I pull it. Well, that's okay. Just tie 50% of what you put in there, and let's say, oh, no, I don't want to cheat it. I was joking on the 50% part. 75%, if that's what you're going to do. But think of this. The world would get trapped. And when we get trapped in it, how difficult it is to get out of that trap. Do you ever make promises you knew you weren't going to keep? Do you ever promise that it'll never happen again, knowing at the time you said it, it was going to happen again? That's the world. 1 John 2:16. For everything, did you hear what I said? Everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. There's nothing in your life that's good that came from the world. Nothing in your life that's good that came from the world. The world will not give you good. Now, it'll give you self-satisfaction. The world will make you fill your belly, but won't fill your spirit. Won't fill that loneliness that's inside. When you lay down and you realize that you're alone from the human companion or whatever, but with Christ, He says, no, never alone. No, never alone. When you can lay there like you're wallowing and ready for the pits of hell to come after you, and yet you see Christ standing over you, no, hell will not touch you. Can't. I'm a child of a king. I belong to Jesus. But He said, Larry, you've got to recognize the world is dirty. Then once you recognize the world is dirty, don't conform to it. If it's bad, why am I going to conform to it? Well, because my nature is naturally bad. The old nature is, there's a new nature called being born again. and it fights. You got a war going on inside of you. Good and evil. You got that? Good and evil. Battles all the time, right? You know it. It's pulling. And God says, don't conform to the world. Don't give in. Don't allow the world to mold you. Allow Christ to hold on to you. Run to His arms. If you know you're getting ready to get sucked in, run! Run! A good run's better than a bad stand any day. And you get to messing with the world, you're going to have a bad stand. Run! Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you do it. Change your mind. Change your mind. Let that mind be renewed in who Christ is. For the world gives you nothing. Only takes. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to be in God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. God says to us, I love you enough. And I've learned over the years that there's a permissive will of God. You know, I've done some dumb things in my life. You all have too. And I look back and I think, Lord, why in the world didn't you just take me out right then? I would have took me out had I realized. Take me out. Because, Larry, I love you. And you're in my permissive will. Parents, do you know what permissive will is? You know good and well you're teaching your children that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. You see them do wrong, and yet what do? You put your arms around and hug them. That's called permissive will. I love you. You snotty-nosed kid, I love you. And because I love you, I want you to know that I am going to place my arms around you and hug you like my Father in heaven did. To me. Permissive. I like that. The perfect will of God, when will I attain it? Not on this earth. Not in a human condition. Human being, you'll always be a human becoming while you're in that body. But God says, I want you to refuse to conform. Don't get so comfortable in the world that you become molded to it. You guys know what I mean with the chairs that recliners? How we get molded? Our bodies are the only bodies that fit in that chair. And you sit there, remember, with that remote control? Pitch your belly back and forth and use that remote. And you become molded to the chair. And your wife said, are you going to get up and do anything? Why would I get up and do anything? Because I'm comfortable. That's what happens in the world. We get so comfortable in the world that we've allowed ourselves to let the world mold us in its image. We've become a part of it. And God says, don't let that happen. Pay attention. Pay attention to your life and pay attention to where you're spending it and how you're spending it. So don't conform to the world. Next, you want to stay clean? Obey God, not man. Obey God, not man. Let me do it again. Obey God, not man. Peter and Paul and all the disciples, here they are. They're out preaching Jesus. And they're telling the story. That's what the gospel is, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you hear people say, well, what's the gospel? The gospel is death, burial, and resurrection. It's called the good news. I got good news for you. Jesus died on a cross for you. He was buried. 3 days he came back to life. He resurrected for you. He's ascended into heaven. There he sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on our behalf. And God says, I want you to pay attention to what I tell you, not man. But the disciples kept preaching about Jesus. Peter, all these are the ones who ran at the cross. These are the men who took off running. You know what the change was? The Holy Spirit. Once Pentecost happened, once the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, that very same Holy Spirit that's in the heart of every believer that's ever existed, once the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, those very men that ran were standing strong and laughing in the face of death and of those who tried to stop them from preaching the gospel, the good news. I got something good to tell the world, so therefore I can't let the world keep me from telling the story. Now, Peter, if you and the rest of those disciples do not stop this, you will be beaten, imprisoned, and or killed. And listen to what Peter says in Acts 5:29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Well, I know you men don't want us talking about God. God said for us to speak this. So we will obey what God says. Do you know they didn't know how to handle them? They had no idea of what do we do with these kind of personalities. When God has poured out His Spirit on a personality, the world cannot handle that personality. Don't know how. For they do not speak as men normally speak. It was said of Jesus, "This man Jesus, he does not talk like other rabbis." Well, he speaks with authority. Godly authority. He's different. The question you and I need to look within our own heart and answer is, are we speaking differently in the world to the point to where they recognize we are different from the world? And the only way we can do that is if we obey God, not man. Now, God may tell me to shut up one day, and I'll shut up. God may tell me not to get up one day, and I won't get up. But until that time, I will stand up. I refuse to shut up. And as I stand up, I will proclaim Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Always. Jesus is Lord. The only peace that I have in my life is that peace that's given to me by the grace of Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for me, for all who would believe, whosoever will, let them come. For I offer love, I offer eternal life, I offer peace. Don't you see why hell is so hot? For those who refuse such a gift as the blood of Christ, that they would step in that blood to insult God. God says, pay attention, obey me. Next, this is key for us, folks. Oh, this is difficult. I want us, if we are going to stay clean in this dirty world, I want you to stress what you believe in, not what you're against. I want you to be positive. Don't tell me why it's not going to work. Tell me how through the power of God we can make this work. Stress what you believe in, not what you're against. When someone asks you, why do you have the joy in your heart? Don't tell them, well, because I'm not like you. That's why I'm joyful. You're lost. You're going to hell. Acting like you're happy about them going there. What's wrong with us, Christians? Tell them the story. Tell them the story of the cross. The positive of life, not the negative. Tell me, how far have you gotten in life always looking for the negative in everybody? There's people that will look for nothing but the wrong in any situation. Always the wrong. Oh, I know you've done all of this. I know all these accomplishments in your life. But I remember when you were a kid, Oh, really? Or find the bad in it. Yes, I know. I know, Larry. I know, and I heard that you went over and shared Christ with that person. Yeah, I know that person well. That person insulted me. Now I understand they accepted Jesus, and I got to spend eternity in heaven with them. Sometimes I want to say, you might not have anything to worry about on that one. With that kind of personality. You see what I mean? I want everyone to be saved. That's what Jesus said. He said, I would that all would come to the saving knowledge. But you're not going to lead anybody to Christ with a negative attitude. Don't find fault in everything. But you can find something positive in any situation. I remember there's a preacher who's in revival, and he said, I just didn't know how to handle this woman, because every night, I was trying to say, well, Miss Bessie, now, what did you find wrong tonight? And she never would find anything wrong. He said, she found something good about every situation and went on. And I thought, I don't think I can handle it. I'm used to people telling me how bad I am. So he said, I think I get her now. Tonight when she leaves, I'm going to really throw her off. And I'm going to say, Miss Betsy, can you tell me anything good about the devil? So after revival and they were walking out, Miss Betsy comes walking through. By the way, Miss Betsy, can you tell me anything good about the devil? Well, yes, Reverend, I guess that I can. He certainly has a lot of followers. She had a positive attitude about every situation. That'll get you further in life than anything else when you're positive in Christ. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, here's what it is. You ready? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Really? I don't even see any of the world in there that I'm to look at any part of what the world hands out. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. It says think about those things. You can even find something good in your pastor. And I encourage you, think about those things. And ladies, yes, there is something good about your husband. I know you spent many years trying to find it, but if you'll talk to the Lord, he'll let you know. You see, that's what I do with the world. I push them aside by letting them know. I will joke about the false claim of praise that they have. Oh, come on, I will make you rich. Follow me into the world, and you'll have all these things. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Folks, I will leave everything on this earth. I'm even going to leave his body on the earth, Brother Randy, right on back to the dust. But I don't need it, because the real me is spiritual. The real me is not flesh. This is just that earth suit I got to walk around in till I leave planet earth. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I have a promise in my heart that my Savior will never leave me nor forsake me. In my whole walk through this many, how many years it is? 73, I think. 73 years. He has never, ever walked away from me. He never even walked away from me before I even knew him. That's love, Brother Randy. That's love. And that's how much my Savior loves all of us. The world is dirty. Our God is clean and pure. Pure love. Pure hope. The pureness of salvation. And Jesus did it all. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love, for your mercy, for the grace that only you will give us. Help us now, Father, as we stand strong, as we reach out, Father, for life itself, we reach out for your hand. For only with you, Father, is there truth, is there peace. Help each of us now, dear Lord God, as we take that stand for your truth, for your peace, for your love, for your purpose. Give us your will, and let your will be done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.